suicide of a loved one? What causes Christians who believe in Jesus to seemingly give up hope and take their own lives? How is mental illness involved? Why do so many people assume that Christians who commit suicide have lost their faith in Christ and are lost forever? And what does God's Word really say about sin and grace? My guest today is Reverend Peter Preuss. He's the author of the book, And She Was a Christian. In his book, he shares the story of his wife's suicide. During today's interview, we will find hope and help, especially for those that have experienced the suicide of a loved one. Stay tuned. You won't want to miss today's program. This is Kay Meyer, president of Family Shield Ministries and your host for today's program. With me by phone lines, I have Reverend Peter Preuss. Thank you so much for joining me today, Reverend Preuss.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity.
I am so thankful that you are willing to share your story because people need to hear and think about this. Many people have been touched by suicide. Pastor Preuss, you wrote the book, and She Was a Christian, and then a subtitle, Why Do Believers Commit Suicide? So this book has a little different focus than many resources that we see on suicide. Share your story with our listeners.
Okay, well, I'd like to talk about my wife. One thing I was just thinking when you mentioned that about a Christian suicide, it's really not any different than any other suicide. And we may get into that in a little bit, but I'm going to say all suicides have a common denominator, and it has to do with hopelessness.
Yeah.
Which is most of the time brought on by a major depression. But we're going back to 93, 94, when my first wife was overcome by major depression. And it's something that absolutely caught me by surprise. I didn't know what she was going through. In her case, she happened to conceal it quite well. And she had other symptoms, too, which are not shared by all people with major depression, but she was suffering from paranoid delusions and that. And, and so finally I was able to identify that something was very wrong and try to get her the proper help.
Yes, yeah. And your wife did eventually, though, even though she was getting this help, she did eventually commit suicide. Is that correct?
I'm not sure how many months were in between the time when I identified that something was very wrong and when she actually took her life. There were two attempts, and it happened at home. I have six children, and I think they were all in school at that time, except the two youngest were at home, and discovered her in the basement after I just kind of sensed that things were really, really quiet.
It's a devastating time, I'm sure, and I thank you again for your willingness to share this difficult topic. But I think it helps our listeners understand that you've been there, done that, you understand this topic. And as a pastor, I'm sure since then you have ministered to many, many people that either have thought about suicide or family members and loved ones who have gone through that tragedy.
Yeah, yeah,
it is a
tragedy. There's been a number of opportunities to talk to people.
Yeah. Well, you talked a little bit about your wife's clinical depression, and is it not true that almost always with suicides there is some type of mental illness involved? Would you say in your research that that has been true?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think it's about 90% that are suffering from some kind of mental illness, and usually it's clinical depression. Others may have bipolar,
schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And so one of the things we often might say is they weren't in their right mind. I don't know if you would agree with that, but let's talk a little bit more about your wife did commit suicide. Tell us a little bit about those days, hours, days, weeks afterwards, and some of the things that people said, maybe the stigma of suicide. Can you share that?
Oh, yeah. Stigma exists on all levels. Maybe I'll just comment briefly on an experience of my children. This was some days or maybe a couple of weeks after my wife's suicide. They happened to be children of another minister, not Lutheran, but it's like they lived two homes down, and they hadn't been over much, and they just kind of came over and knocked on the door, and we heard that your mother put a bag over her head and committed suicide. And it was, for them, it was more of an intrigue sort of thing. But the thing with stigma is that it's a form of judgment that people are enabled to make because they're afraid that this could happen to them. Mm-hmm. So it's based mainly on fear and ignorance, I want to say. People want to judge, point the finger at someone else, mm-hmm. that assures them that it's not going to happen to them, and they'll say such things as, well, this person was crazy, they were weak. As Christians, they may say they weren't trusting. But the stigma is easily removed when you point out that this person was ill. Mm-hmm. This person was in pain.
Yes.
This person was a sinner, but they were also a believer.
Yeah.
And it's something that's existed for many, many centuries. I think it's gotten better with education, on depression and hopelessness, but mm-hmm. it still exists in the church today because people want to focus on the sin more than what's behind the sin.
And so let's talk a little bit about what the church has said in the past related to suicide and what you and I both believe God's Word says about mm-hmm. this. Because in the name of your book is "And She Was a Christian: Why Do Believers Commit Suicide?" Now, yes, the same difficulty, no matter who commits suicide, it's a crisis, it's a tragedy. But mm-hmm. there has been this stigma. Let's just talk a little bit about that. Tell us what the church has said in the past, and maybe even what was said about your wife or others that you know. And then let's talk about what God's Word says.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm sure most of our listeners have heard the comment that suicide is an unforgivable sin. That's something that goes way, way back. And, that fits in with this stigma. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's such a tragedy. People perceive any unexpected death is a tragedy, but certainly when someone dies at their own hand, this is awful. And so because of how major this sin is, they want to say that it's unforgivable. But what we need to reply with there is the fact that there's really only one unforgivable sin, and that is unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And some may want to come back with this question, well, okay, but cannot sin destroy faith? Well, yes, but keep in mind there's really two kinds of sins. There's someone sinning against their conscience. Some have referred to it as a ruling sin. That's where you embrace the sin, you allow it to rule you, you don't care what anyone says, you know it's wrong. And then you have sins of weakness, of course, which is something all Christians deal with. We can't go one day avoiding sinning.
Mm-hmm.
In so far as we all have a sinful nature, you know, we're constantly sinning through our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. But that doesn't mean that a suicide is a sin against one's conscience. I would say it's really a sin of weakness, which is brought on by this hopelessness that the person is feeling, which is brought on by depression.
Or the mental illness. And sometimes the medicine itself can exasperate some of the issues, the hallucinations and other issues related to suicide. I mean, all you have to do today is look at the advertisements on television about much of the medicine that says can produce more suicidal thoughts. So that's another part of that. But Pastor Preuss, you are then saying something that the church doesn't always say. You are saying that Christians that have faith in Christ and yet feel so hopeless that they end up committing suicide are in a state of grace.
Yes.
They are Christians, and because of their faith in Christ, their sin, and we're not saying suicide isn't a sin, is washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ, and they are in heaven with Christ.
Yes, indeed.
And that's what you're saying, isn't it? And that's a different perspective. I believe it's very biblical. Very biblical, because we say it isn't what we do, bad or good. It is faith alone in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So talk a little bit more about that perspective, because that's probably a perspective that our listeners are going to say, what? How can that be?
Yeah.
I've always heard.
I think there are different understandings of grace, and our understanding of grace, which of course is very scriptural, is that it's God's undeserved love. Grace is not some power that God implants in us somehow. It's absolutely on God's part, where he has this disposition of love towards the sinner, even though we don't deserve it. And God places us in a state of grace as a believer through holy baptism, through our hearing of the gospel. And in this state, God pledges to keep us in the faith. He will save us despite ourselves and our proneness to sin day after day. Now, granted, if someone decides that they don't love God's word anymore and they just want to do what they want to do, well, then that person is on their way or already has fallen from the state of grace. But for the weak Christian, the despairing Christian, we can remain confident that God is going to take care of us despite our sinfulness.
You bet. Let me make a few announcements, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to continue talking about Pastor Peter Price's book, And She Was a Christian. Each week, Family Shield offers a booklet or resource to our radio listeners. This week, we're offering the booklet, Surviving a Loved One's Suicide. To receive a free copy, call the Family Shield Response Center, 1-877-317-4326. We'll also be giving away several copies of Reverend Price's book, And She Was a Christian, Why Do Believers Commit Suicide? Again, our response center number is 1-877-317-4326. We encourage you to sign up to receive the Family Shield email newsletter on our homepage at www.familyshieldministries.com. You can also connect with Family Shield through Facebook and Twitter. Family Shield's mission is to educate and equip individuals and their families to know Christ and grow in His Word. Your prayers and support allow us to accomplish this mission. You can send donations to Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123. A free Bible study for this book is also available for download at www.npp.org. www.bibleph.net and then /She Was a Christian. The book is published by Northwestern Publishing House, and you can get more information from them on their website at www.mph.net. They are located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So any of our listeners in that area, just be aware that the book is published by Northwestern, but you can receive it in many places. Many Christian bookstores will have it as well. I want to go back to my guest, Reverend Peter Preuss. And he shared the story of his wife's suicide. And since then, I know he has been working in this area and ministering to many people. I think in the early part of the book, it said one of your goals was to offer hope for suicide survivors. So talk a little bit more, Pastor Preuss, about your work in this area and what else our listeners might like to know about how we offer hope to those that have experienced suicide.
Oh, sure. Thank you. I would say hope is offered to survivors when they realize that, yes, this loved one of mine was a Christian. They were in a state of grace. And there's another explanation for all of this other than that this person denied the faith or fell away or something like that. I think something else that's very, very helpful for the survivors is to understand something about grieving for a loved one who's died by suicide. It's a little different than other deaths that, you know, grieving on account of other deaths. Other deaths, you know, you may have a heart attack, a cancer, let's say a ruptured aneurysm, and those are all acceptable methods of death, but suicide is not.
Yes.
You know, it's regarded as irrational and evil, and so this paves the way for a great sense of, to a great sense of anger if someone's blaming someone else, you know, saying, well, you know, her husband drove her to it, for example, or someone may even blame God. I'm going to say the most common reaction, though, is for a suicide survivor to blame himself or herself, and that's certainly where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And
you probably thought, why didn't I realize she was having all these problems? Why didn't
yes.
I know?
Yes.
And then you're angry at yourself. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's a typical anger is one of the things that do happen to everyone in a grieving process. But you're saying it's even more.
Yeah, I think it's even more pronounced in a suicide because you realize, well, I should have been more informed about his condition. I should have gotten him more help. Or you may imagine ways that you contributed to this person's hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing to understand there is, well, okay, let's say, I'm going to say the question is, well, okay, let's say you accounted for all those. There would have been another missed opportunity. There would have been another deception. A lot of people will try to hide their depression.
Yes.
Or there would have been another catalyst. A lot of times it'll be a single event which maybe finally precipitates the suicide. And in the end, you know, you got to remember this person was suffering. And your role does not explain why he or she did what they did. But more important than that is remember God's grace has the final word in the matter, not only concerning that loved one who's no longer with you, but also with yourself. I like the passage from 1 John 3. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. He knows every sin is forgiven. He knows that every death is according to his timetable. That's something that's maybe difficult to understand or accept, that even in the event of a tragic death, God calls someone home when he wants them home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's so helpful. What else? Is there any other aspects to the grieving process for the survivors that we should talk about? The anger is a typical and normal, and maybe even more so than a normal death? Anything else? I do have another couple questions here, but just want to make sure.
I'm not sure what you might be after there. I can talk about anger towards God or.
Well, that's fine. Let me just go to a different kind of back up a little bit then. One of the things that I had and we didn't get to, one of the things that you mentioned to me when we spoke the other day is that often people will ask questions or kind of debate with you about this issue of are they in heaven? And one of the questions you mentioned, which I thought was a good one, is that people will say to you, but she didn't have time to repent.
Oh,
how
yeah.
do you respond to that?
Because
I thought that was
say,
just a great
to,
question.
Yeah. Is suicide the unforgivable sin? That one is a close second.
Yeah, I thought it was just a great question. And so how do you respond to people who said your wife's name was Jean? She mm-hmm. was a believer. She committed suicide, but she didn't have time to repent. What do you say to that?
Well, a couple of things. I want to say, first of all, what about the rest of us? Earlier I mentioned, that we all are sinful by nature. That means that we're sinning all the time. In one sense, we're sinning perpetually because, our whole being has been corrupted by sin. Having said that, though, what does it mean to repent? It means to change one's mind. A sinner changes one's mind. I'm sorry for my sin. I want to turn away from the sin. I want to believe in Christ as my Savior. But now you want to ask, well, how is repentance possible? Is it our work or is it God's work? Paul says in Philippians 2, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. But there's a lot of misconceptions about repentance. Some might say that repentance is like making up for a sin. We repent for a certain sin we've done, and then we regain God's approval. Well, that's making salvation into a work, I think. Or some may think of repentance as an on-off switch. It's on so long as you're reflecting on God's grace who forgives us through Christ, and so long as we're living a Christian, obedient life. And then once you slip into a certain sin, well, then this repentance switch is kind of switched off. Mm-hmm. Well, again, God is the one who works repentance in us, as he works faith in us through his word. And in the end, I'm going to say, if we knew this person was a Christian, and, if you are a family member of a suicide, this person was a Christian. Well, time ran out, not on the sinner, but time ran out on God. Obviously, again, someone can choose to reject God's word, reject Christ. They may try to manipulate God's grace so that they don't have to repent. But if we're talking about a sinner, we're talking about a sin of weakness, such sins will not affect God and his timing to save us by grace.
Okay. And so again, I say I want to just mention again to our listeners that we believe we are in a state of grace. When we sin, we don't go out of faith. There's a lot of some Christians that think when you sin, you stop being a Christian. But no, we're in a state of grace. And yes, if we continue to live, the Holy Spirit's going to bring that sin to our minds, and we're going to confess our sins. But in this case, Jean was in a state of grace. We have about 3 minutes left. Would you talk for a minute to those who are hopeless, to those that are thinking about suicide, just those that are just hopeless over their thoughts and just feel they have no hope? What can you say to them?
Okay. I would talk to them about what faith is. Faith is not always about how you feel. faith is about trust. And I think it's important, for example, to know the difference between hope and faith. Sometimes I'll talk about on a roller coaster. You know how people ride roller coasters in different ways? Some will, you know, throw their hands up in the air. They got their eyes wide open. They want to take in the whole thing. They want to anticipate what's ahead. That's hope. Faith is clinging, like me when I'm on the roller coaster. I got my hands gripping the side bar there, head down, eyes closed. That represents faith.
Holding on, yeah.
Faith is where you're clinging to the forgiveness of Christ despite how you feel, despite how much you may be despairing. And I would try to talk about how, you know, it's not so much what we perceive about ourselves, but what God perceives about us on account of the sacrifices of his son, Jesus Christ, who took our sin upon himself.
All right. Wonderful thoughts. A lot more in your book. I want to mention just a couple things in the back of the book. And we're just going to be pretty much out of time, so I'm just going to continue here. You hang on. If I have a chance, I'll touch base again with you. But you have the sermon from your wife's funeral. And then in the second part of that, at the end of the book, you have suicide prevention, emergency numbers, and suggested websites. This book has so many good resources for pastors, for counselors that are dealing with this day in and day out, helping people that are considering suicide, helping families that have gone through suicide. And I just want to highly recommend it. And she was a Christian. Again, my guest has been Reverend Peter Preuss. This is Kay Meyer with Family Shield. Learn more about Family Shield on our website at www.familyshieldministries.com. Call our response center to receive the booklet or to put your name in the drawing for the books. God bless your day.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Family Shield, a radio production of Family Shield Ministries. Its mission is to educate and equip people to know Christ, grow in His Word, and strengthen individuals and their families. To learn how you can obtain resources or support the ministry, go to www.familyshieldministries.com or write Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123. Or call 1-877-317-4326. A CD of today's program is available upon request. Tune in next week for more Family Shield.